First Chronicles, we are continuing. This is part two of the message we started last week. And I pray that God will just help us to finish it now. Hallelujah. And a good reader, please, so that we can recap for those who were not here last Sunday. Who will help us stand up and read First Chronicles chapter 13. And please, let it be a good reader.
Praise the Lord, church. First Chronicles 13.
From verse 1, go on.
And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds.
Yes.
And with every leader. And David said unto all the congregations of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we inquire not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said, and they will do so. For the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shiro of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kejat Jearim. And David went up and all Israel to Bela, that is to Kejat Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cut out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzziah and Ahio drove the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harp, with psalteries, and timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzziah. Wherefore, that place is called Perez Uzziah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself, to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obededom, the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obededom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obededom and all that he had.
Okay, let another person read chapter 15. Chapter 15.
Praise God.
Who is reading? Yes.
And David made him houses in the city of David, and prepared a place for the ark of God, and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God.
Who are those who are supposed to carry the ark? Who was supposed to carry the ark? But when he went to carry the ark, who are those that carried it? Family members of Obed-Edom. It was a family business. His two children, Uzzah and Ahio, they were those that carried the ark. But they were not supposed to carry the ark. Sister Chichi, you know what make I know you? Sister Chichi, you say, how will you know if you are in the perfect will of God and not his permissive will? How will you know? This is it now. Read on. Finish that reading.
And to minister unto him forever.
Yes.
And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem, mm-hmm, to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, where he had prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites, mm-hmm, of the sons of Kohath, Uriah the chief, and his brethren, and 120.
Go to verse 11.
And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriah, Asaiah, and Joel, Shemaiah, and Eliel, and Aminadab, and said unto them, Ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord of God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And because ye did it not at the first.
Read it again. And please, if you are joining us for the first time, you are just hearing us, let that verse 13 be underlined. Let the verse 13, let it be underlined. Go on, verse 13, read it again.
For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order.
Mm-hmm.
So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord, God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Now, we see verse 13 lets us know that the reason why what happened. Remember, in chapter 13, we saw that he took the ark and put it in a new cap. Now, he was sincere, if I just refresh your memory. Amen. And he was sincere. David was sincere. He has just taken over. Now Saul is dead. Now he has taken over the reign of Israel as a king. And the first thing he's trying to set things in order. He knows you can't worship effectively in Israel without the ark. And then he now arranged to bring the ark. But in bringing the act of bringing the ark is the service we are looking at. He was sincere in his motive. Bringing the ark is perfectly the will of God. And like I said, that so many of us in Bride Assembly desire to serve God. That is a good, it's a good desire. I quoted last week, Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3 said, he that desires the office of a bishop, you desire a good work. It's good that you want to be a pastor. It's good that you want to be a minister of God. It's good. Hallelujah. It's good. It's a right motive. But David, as sincere as he was, he, in the course of going in that revival, 30,000 Jews were with him, dancing before the ark, and they placed the ark on a cart. They prepared a beautiful vehicle that will carry it. A beautiful vehicle. And the ark of God is the word of God today. This Bible is the ark of God. I hope you know that. I hope you know that. Noah built an ark. And what was the instruction? Only those who will come and enter that ark will be saved from the flood that was coming to destroy the world. Another flood is coming very soon. And the only people that will be saved from the destruction that is coming are those who will come and enter this ark of the world. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to come back to the world. Only those who will come to the world. Therefore, the ark this time, hallelujah, the ark this time is the word of God. And the word of God cannot be carried anyhow. But you and I know a type of Ahio and Uzzah, the family members of Abinadab, that is how the ark of God is carried today. By the denominational system, family business is a man and his wife, and his children are the ones carrying the ark of God. And thousands of people are following him in a revival. 30,000 were following David. But God was not there. The ark was correct. The ark was genuine. It was the original ark given by God. But there is a way you are supposed to carry it. How do I know if I'm in the perfect will of God? Hallelujah. Watch and see. This is how David knew whether he was in the perfect will of God or not. While they were dancing in that revival, God is supposed to be so pleased that his glory will come down. But instead, somebody died. Somebody died. The ark was about to fall. Uzzah, one of those children, put forth his hand to stop it from falling. Unknown to him, it was God trying to scatter it. And sometimes you start a ministry and it is scattered. That is evidence you are not carrying it correctly. Hallelujah. You start a ministry. You want to fulfill your heart desire. And it may be a genuine call of God upon you. Genuine call. You heard the voice. But all that the voice will tell you is, my son, I want to use you mightily to turn Lagos upside down. He will never go beyond that. That voice never goes beyond that. He will leave you. If God says he will use you, you are not the first to be used. You are not the first to be used. Therefore, and that is why, he expects you to go back and cross-check. Whenever God calls you, what, how does he use you? What does he expect you to do? When you elect the president of Nigeria or the governor of any state, before he assumes office, the fact that he has been elected and the electoral people, INEC, declares him the governor, he doesn't just take off, say, now you people heard that I'm governor. All INEC does is, you have been elected governor. You are the one returned. You are the governor. That's all INEC will tell you. Then, immediately after the election, before you will assume the office, there are steps you will take. You will go and swear. You will take an oath. Which oath? That you will uphold the constitution of Nigeria. Because you are going to rule according to the constitution. It was when somebody died that David said, let's go back to the book. Okay, confirm, say what did I do now, correct it. Amen. And when he went back to the books, he discovered, hallelujah, that the correct way to carry the ark, they were right in their motive, the ark is supposed to come back to Israel, but they found out that they carried it wrongly. The ark, there is a particular way, only Levites were supposed to carry the ark. And there will be four of them, two in front, two behind, and they will put some sticks, they call the staff, and hold it on their shoulder, and they will move. Not a new cart. Don't try to help God. Don't modernize the gospel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is the act of modernization that has produced women preachers. Hallelujah. Amen. All manner of programs are going on today. Amen. To them, to win souls for Christ. They are organizing football competition. There is a man of God, very anointed, in this city of Lagos. He even owns a television station. And I was watching his station as he was. Now, the latest he has added now is he's now organizing a football team. And that through it, he will be preaching the gospel of salvation. Now, the man wants the gospel to be spread everywhere. That is his heart desire. And he thinks, yes, through football, since everybody likes football, then we shall use football, then all of them will come, then we will give them the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. The motive is right, but according to the Bible, when God wants to save, he has his fishing baits, and among the fishing baits, it does not include football. When fisherman, all the fishing baits he uses, they are in the Bible. How to catch fish. Football is not among. Picnic is not among. Seminar is not among. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's not among. And David found out. He made that statement in verse 13. He said, it's because we did it not according to due order at the first. That's why the Lord sent a breach on us. That's why Uzzah died. And that's why we are treating the topic, the due order. We are looking at the due order. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'm telling you, last week, we looked at it as a pattern. What is going on now? The story of David and the ark, the return of the ark to Israel, is the same thing that we can see happening in the church of Jesus Christ now. So that you will understand the confusion that is in Christianity. And I told you, I said, a type of the 30,000 that were in that revival. I told you, I said, 30,000 were in revival. 30,000. I want to look at a church that is up to 30,000 members, one sitting. No member was absent in that crusade. Every space was filled up. 30,000. And imagine, they said, with harps, psalteries, all the instruments of worship. So imagine, people must be falling under anointing there. People must be falling under anointing. And so everybody thinks God is with them. And David was in front. Oh, restoration time. Oh, restoration time. Taking work while the devil has stolen. Restoration time. And then, yes, it's time for restoration. New anointing. Brethren, there is no new anointing. There is no new anointing anywhere. The Holy Ghost does not expire. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You cannot have a new anointing. What you actually have is another anointing. And that anointing can never be of God. Anointing that does not bring you back to the Bible can never be a genuine anointing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to bring it home to Bride Assembly. Because so many of us desire to serve God. May God use this little exhortation and open your eyes and make sure you find the right place you are supposed to be. Because during the night, I was sharing something with the ministers. And it's important that the church catches it too. Because a sister asked me a question. Hallelujah. I said, we have decided in this church that nobody will lead a group if he does not know the word. Hallelujah. Nobody. You say, how will I know whether he knows the word or not? I will call him for interview. How long have you been in the church? You are here for 3 years, 2 years, 1 year. If you are here for 1 year, I know what we have been speaking for the past 1 year. If you are here for 3 years, I know what we have been speaking here for the past 3 years. I know which class you are supposed to be. So I know the kind of question I will ask you. The truth is, if you don't know the word, you will cause Uzzah to die again in Bride Assembly. Each time the leader makes a mistake, there is always death that follows. David made a mistake. Uzzah died. And watch it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name. There is always death behind it. Each time you make a mistake. Somewhere, David was warned not to conduct census. Don't begin to count the number of Israel. And one day, he jumped up. And sent his generals to go and count the people. He wants to know how many people are in Israel. They advise him, why are you counting now? There's a reason why God said they should not count. The reason is, they were a little group of people. And the nations they were facing were mighty people. If The Israelites to know how many they are, they will be weakened in their faith to face those great armies. So God said, don't count, because if you count, it will weaken your faith. But David said, Lai. One day he woke up, the Bible said a demon enter him. And he said, oh yeah, go and count. They counted and came back. The anger of the Lord came on Israel. How many people died? 70,000 Jews died that day from a pestilence that God released upon them for that action, for that stupid action of a leader. Why? He refused to listen to the word of God. Moses, because he did not do it according to due order. All the confusion that went on, if Moses had followed them up to the promised land, the story of Israel will have been different. Because he did it wrongly. Instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock. What happened? It cost him his own life. And we have decided in this church that before you will be leader of a group, you must know the word. When the group comes together, part of the activities for that day, for that your program, will include a Bible study to your group. We want to put the horse before the cart. What is the horse? The horse is the word. You don't put the gifts before the word. And it is a grievous error when you raise up a group of people and all the attention is on the anointing, the gifts. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. Remember, every gift, Satan can impersonate it. And when you pray the gift and you don't know the word, William Branham put it this way. He said, gift without character is what? Satanic. It's satanic. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because I told you last time, I said this is the age that the Pentecostal movement in the whole world boasts of prosperity the most. This is the age. Some churches are richer than state governments. Their annual budget is higher than the budget of some states. Hallelujah. There are ministers. They are so rich, they have private jets. Not from their personal money, but from the income that comes into the ministry. Now, if for your personal money you buy a jet, there's no problem about it. If for your personal money, maybe you are doing some other businesses somewhere. But I'm talking of a church. We come together like this and raise. I have seen where one offering, not go come, no notice was given some few years back when their GO wanted to buy a jet. I was following it on the television, I was following it on the newspaper. He just came and made 1 5-minute speech of the need. And I was listening to the tape and he made a statement. He said, not that we don't have the money. Not that we don't have the money. He said, we are only giving you opportunity to tap into that blessing. He said, if you like, you bring. If you like, you don't bring. We want to buy a jet. And they needed 100 and something million naira or something like that. No, something like that at that time. I've forgotten the exact amount. But the cost of that jet in that service, what they raised was higher than the cost of buying that jet. One service without notice to members. Everybody brought that money. I went to the airport. I saw the jet. I opened, I touched, I looked at them. They bought the jet. Praise the Lord. Very rich. And when you talk about now, you know, the size of churches, thousands, until one day service like this, They hold 5 services because they don't have enough seat for everybody to come at the same time. So many people now. So, and then they are making us or the whole world understand that there is a revival going on. The Lord is taking over the land. Oh, he's talking, they're taking over the land. Amen. Taking over the land. All over the world. There's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord. Can't you see it? Some of them carry the anointing in their hand. Hey! Boah! New anointing. Revival. Hallelujah. Go and see the property they own. The land they own. In Nigeria and outside Nigeria. Go and see the property they have. Hallelujah. But we read while they are there thinking we are mighty. God is with us. Can't you see? Can't you see? See what God was saying concerning them in Revelation chapter 3. We read it last week. Let's read it again for the benefit of those who were not here. Revelation chapter 3, that is the Laodicean church age. This is the church age we are in now. What did God say concerning that age? And I will read it from verse 14. This is the message. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean write, this thing said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. You see, meanwhile they are saying we are hot, 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 hot. But God is saying, you are lukewarm. You are neither cold nor hot. He said, I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, verse 17, hear their claim. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Nothing. I have no need of nothing. I have had television preachers say, I don't pray for money. I can't be poor. And it's true. Because he spends millions of naira every day on television program alone. He didn't borrow the money for it. They are rich. The truth is they are rich. Their auditorium is rock. Hey. Fully air conditioned. Hallelujah. Everything there is digital electronics. Beautiful, wonderful, because we are in the electronic age. Fine. But see what he said. I read it again. Because thou sayest, verse 17, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Brethren, when we speak like this, we are looked at as critics. But these are the deep things that pertain to salvation. Why don't they know it? Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom. Look at people who enjoy themselves in a revival, and God is looking at them. You are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked. That is God's testimony. You are a minister. What is God's testimony concerning you? You are a prophet. You are a pastor. You are an evangelist. You conduct deliverance anywhere you go. Shrines will disappear in that place. While you are running from village to village, crusade to crusade, what is the testimony of God concerning you? Everybody, he said, you are a mighty man of God. Pastor Moses, you are a powerful preacher. It was when I come to Brother Assembly that my eyes were open. You are raised for this generation. That is a man's testimony. What is the testimony of the Lord concerning you, Pastor Moses? That's the truth. Hallelujah. Because it's his testimony that matters. It's his testimony that matters. And how do I know my testimony? If I go and discover I am doing it according to due order. Then you can show this is the testimony of the Lord concerning me. Apostle Paul stood before his people and said, I have converted no man. He said, throughout his ministry, he has not converted. He did not even live his life depending on them. And he said, these my hands ministered to my knees and to those around me. It's true. That was his testimony. But we have people here today. Your testimony is the car I am riding. I know how I got it. All these people, they use me, dump me. Hey, one man come. When I look in the spirit, where? As he said, the man get money, where? Now he said, the Lord said, you should sow into my life.